Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into episode 4. It's kind of a big deal because it's our first male guest who came to Gab Like a Gal. His name is Brian Enk. He's a great friend of mine, super funny guy. This one was awesome. You guys will love this podcast. I hope you will. You can follow Brian if you like the podcast. You can follow him at Brian Enk. That's BRIANENCK on Twitter. And you can follow me at Liz Lorinsky with a Y. And check out GabbinLikeGals.com. I hope you enjoy the episode. Bye. People love eating on podcasts. But yeah, it's no big deal. So
I feel like I want to ask you how you've been, but
yeah, that's fine. You can ask me. I'm starting a podcast.
No, but I feel like I want to ask you not on the record. How have you been?
I've been good.
Good.
Yeah.
How was the Herald auditions?
I thought my audition went well. I didn't get a call back or anything, but,
that's all you can do.
Yeah. I don't feel bad about it. I feel really good about the situation, like about whatever. And
How many people did they give a number of how many people auditioned?
Over 550 auditioned.
Jesus.
80 people got callbacks. Of those 80, 29 people got on teams, and 17 people were cut from Harold and Lloyd.
This is like a lot of pressure. I feel like if I ever made a Harold team, I would
get
anxious.
Yeah, feel like you want to die.
Okay.
Here, get closer to the mic.
Yeah, how close?
You can get really close.
Really close.
Really right up
what
on
does it.
No, however, you know,
I feel like I'm a loud person, so it might
well, because you're a man, I gave you one of the mics picks up better. This one does, the one I'm using, and I gave you that one because
men are loud.
Yeah, when Corey and I were like messing with it, I found that no matter which mic he was on, you could always hear him.
Uh-huh.
But
you're
yeah.
a delicate female.
Oh, yeah.
Sexy voice.
When you whisper.
Yeah, when I whisper, I'm really, really... That's my whisper voice. That's how you seduce Corey. Hey, David. You want to just, like, do this? That's actually one of my jokes. I came up with the joke. We haven't talked.
You haven't talked about stand-up.
So I came up with a joke that's like, how do you... I don't know how to start sex. Because I don't know how you start sex with someone you've been sitting on the couch with, farting with for 6 hours. And then you, like, try the moves that, like, worked when you were dating someone. Like,
yeah, when you're,
you know,
16.
Kissing and touching. And, like, it's just like, what, is there something on my face? Like, what are you doing?
And then
so finally just like, let's do this.
I feel like you can be more blunt.
Yeah, you have to be. Usually it's just like, he's going to hate that I talked about this. But usually it's just like, oh, we both need to shower at the same time? Yes!
It's not like, let's shower.
No. It's like, we both came back from the gym. Well, that worked out.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
Of course can happen.
Yeah.
Have we started?
Yeah, we started.
Oh, my goodness. Do I have to say who I am?
No, I'll do it in the intro. I'll say that you are worldwide renowned.
Yep.
Stand-up comedian Brian Enk.
If by world you mean this living room, then yeah.
I think one of the things I want to talk to you about is how you dropped out of college.
How I dropped out of college?
Yeah.
It was easy. I stopped paying. they really are okay with you not coming back if you don't pay.
You know what I mean.
No, it was not... a quick decision. It was something I had just started doing stand up.
And we should say that you're like 5 years old.
I am a 5 year old child. Yes. Who has a
growth issue and whose
who
voice
just has a really deep voice.
Deep voice.
It really freaks out my teachers. You have no idea. They don't answer any of times I raise my hand. And I dropped out of college.
Yeah.
I dropped out because I had started doing stand up and I was going to a small college on the Finger Lakes, which is upstate New York. And
sorry,
that
name is too much.
It is a little creepy. Like, I always think, because they look like fingers, I get
yes.
it, but they look like really skinny, like deformed fingers.
Yeah. It's not like somebody just put a handprint on the earth.
Yeah.
It's like someone was dying, deformed, creepy.
I feel like that would if there was a handprint, I feel like creationists could use that. Be like, come on.
Come
like,
on, it's the handprint
of
God.
Look at this thing. This is a perfect outline hand. You can't argue. Yeah. But it isn't, so haha, creationist.
Yeah. Let's stick it to the creationists to start out this podcast.
They get flack all the time. We'll let them go. But my dad had been driving from Rochester to pick me up. It's about an hour and a half. And then drive me back to Rochester. So it's an hour and a half both ways. For me to do like an 8-minute set. And it's the sweetest thing. And he did it like 10 times. And then I just said, I think I want to do this more than what I was doing. And so I knew I wanted to do New York City. So that summer I kind of just made plans, saved up some money, and then came here.
That's awesome. I love that. And you got support from like your like fellow college students or teachers, right?
Well, a lot of people, yeah, kind of. I originally wanted to do stand-up when I was in middle school. I knew I wanted to
That's
do
insane.
That.
That's insane.
But my friends said, Brian, you're not funny.
Oh.
And I thought, what was the worst is it was a sleepover I was having at my house. I remember this vividly. We were watching a stand-up comic, and I was like, I think I want to do this. So I started writing, and my friends were just like, you're not funny. What are you doing? Stop what you're doing. Just watch this, and let's, you know, drop penises on each other. That's what we do on, at sleepovers. But so instead of thinking maybe I just have crappy friends, I thought, oh, these guys are right.
Yeah.
And so
it's the worst.
Didn't do it. And then revisited it later on.
Yeah. No, I think that's really hard when other people like take the title of the funny one.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's like my brother was the funny one.
My brother's the funny one.
Yeah.
And I always say that because people, when I did tell people I want to do stand-up, they were like teachers and stuff. They were confused because they're like, you're not that funny. But I just had a feeling, I think I can do this. If there's a microphone in my hand, I can be funny. It's kind of like Hitler. He didn't do very well until he got the mustache. And then he got the mustache and everyone's like, listen to this dude. It's the same with a microphone.
We did talk about genocide, so let's get into it. Your feelings on the Holocaust.
You know what? I mean, I don't want to be controversial, but I wish it hadn't happened.
Oh my God, me too.
I know that's kind of a bold thing
say. It's a bold move.
And I'm sure we're going to get flack.
Oh, so much flack.
If it was up to me, I would have said, don't do that.
Yeah, let's just, you know, why doesn't everybody just hold hands and live in peace?
Yeah.
I understand. I know, we're going to get a lot of comments.
A lot of hate mail.
So what was your first stand-up? When did you first do stand-up? Like,
my first stand-up was at this comedy club. It was actually in my hometown. I mean, that was the funniest thing.
Went to Rochester.
I grew up in a suburb outside of Rochester, right on Lake Ontario. And the comedy club is in my hometown. It was funny that I was an hour and a half away from home. So my dad drove from home to pick me up, then drove back to do the have me do the set, and then would go drop me off and then go back home. He drove, I'm doing the math. He drove
3 hours or whatever.
3 hours, so 6 hours in a day for me to do a 10-minute set.
That's amazing. Did he watch the set?
He did. No one's good when they first start.
Right.
And so he was so nice. And he'd be like, when we were driving back, he would like, well, what if you did this? He was really, I get a lot of my humor from him. I like a lot of dry humor and stuff like that.
I found that that first, before I went up for the first ladies' mic, when we had that lunch with Elaine.
Yes.
I felt
she
like.
She said it went really well.
It did. That room is really good.
Yes. I've been in that room.
And
it's amazing how much impact a room.
It's huge. And as a woman, to have a whole room full of women that understand where I'm coming from, that allows me to get like that to be able to hone the actual information or actual jokes and say, this does work. You know, whereas if you go to a room that's all guys and it doesn't work, that joke isn't necessarily bad. It's just that, you know, and there are universal jokes that get everybody, but you want to be able to say, hey, that is funny. Like just because, you know, I'm in a room full of 20-something guys who are also trying to make jokes. You know, they aren't necessarily going to find this funny. But I haven't gone to, like, a co-ed room since my first open mic. I haven't. I need to.
It's, yeah.
But.
Well, it's tough, and a lot of comics get into an argument about it. The best advice, because people be, because I performed at Broadway Comedy Club for a while, and which you know, yeah. And it's a very we get a lot of tourists, and it mm-hmm. gets a lot of people who English is a second language.
Yeah.
So, and you're trying to, and so sometimes I'll get heat from some comics. You know, alternative comics, which I also consider myself that, but I would talk about things that, like marriage, and things yeah. that alternative comics probably wouldn't dive into, but there is a lot of pressure, especially when you're just trying to be funny, first of all,
yeah.
and the other thing is you're trying to keep your spot at the room. If the, you know, the manager hears it, you know, walks by, and you're, and time after time again, you're not getting laughs.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure. Yeah. So it is a fine line. It's a decision. Do I keep doing what I want to do, or do I kind of do what they want to do so I can at least get the laughs? The best advice I got was from this very funny comic, Harrison Greenbaum, and he's at Caroline's. He's really funny, just really nice guy too. He said what you should do is write what you like and keep what they like.
I think that's awesome advice.
It's yeah, and it's and therefore you don't hate yourself for doing crappy material, which I've done. Because I like, you know, I talk about marriage, but I'm not married, so
right.
there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to talk about this. But
yeah.
if you stick to that way, I think you can't go wrong.
Well, I always worry that I'll be talking about marriage or whatever, and that'll be just the thing I talk about. So there's part of like, you know, developing your material, and there's also like I'm trying to figure out where I'm coming from. What is my voice? That's like I feel like that's everybody's
yeah
struggle, is to figure out who you are.
Well, I think that's, I mean,
Brian, who are you?
That's oh my goodness, I am a 5-year-old boy who dropped out of college and went to a college with like crippled fingers. I think that's a life thing. Not to get deep, but I think it's what we do from when we're born to when we stop breathing, is you just try to figure out who you are. So whenever anyone says that, I was like, yeah, that's true, but we were trying to do that as a person anyway.
I think as a person, I couldn't figure... The most important thing I've figured out so far about myself is that I'm not just one-dimensional. That I am not
yeah.
just like the bubbly girl or... you know, kind of bitchy or whatever. Yeah, I have moments where I'm all these different people, and you have to realize that, like, oh, I'm like, because you have those moments where you're like, is that me or is this me? You're like, oh, it's all me. We're human beings that are complex, and we have like a huge range of emotions and moods.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so much more fun to look at life through that lens.
Mm-hmm.
I always get frustrated. Not because what someone says is, like, if I hear someone say something that's, like, not, but, like, bigoted or, you know, typical Russian or something like that. And it's, it always bothers me because people are so much more, and why wouldn't you want to look at it through that lens? It's much more.
I know, except for, exciting. You know, like, typical Russians, right?
Except for the typical Russians.
Yeah.
I mean, those people, there isn't a lens for
Corey
that.
Corey and I almost went to Brighton Beach the other day.
Oh, and that has lots of Russians.
Yeah. Corey's heritage is part Russian.
There is a big Jewish Russian.
Yeah, well,
population.
he does jujitsu, and there's this one guy that's like straight out of Russia, and he's I think he's just Russian, but he went up to Corey and he's like, Russian Jew, and he's like, he's like, yes, but you know,
straight out of Russia, crazy mofo named Maltra Merkormo.
Exactly. That wasn't, yeah.
That was an NWA reference. You're not going to get another one of those in your podcast.
How do you know? Who
true.
Do you know I'm going to have on my podcast?
This is true.
So we met in Shannon O'Neill's class.
We did. My future wife.
She's married.
Well, you know. She sees me from time to time, and I know she remembers me, but she doesn't remember me. She just remembers me as the creepy kid that overly hit on her.
It was amazing. It was the highlight of that class for me.
I just always think that if you have to interact with someone, you could either be polite and not. And this isn't the way I wanted to say this. You could be rude and not hit on them, or you could say, hey, if you weren't married... I would totally go after that.
Yeah.
And not like, and it was never like, It was never like, I want to get that. It was like, I'd like to take you out to dinner and bring you flowers because you are a lady. And
oh, God. I'm going to, like, if you didn't, not that you needed, you didn't need any help with women before this podcast, but now you're just like, I want to take you to dinner and bring you flowers and, like, listen to your problems. I want to
do all those things.
I want to lightly stroke your hair while we watch back episodes of Sex and the City.
I had a recent really creepy encounter with a woman that wasn't her fault. It's completely my fault. I went for the cheek kiss and she went for the lip kiss.
That almost happened to us today.
Oh, just now. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, yeah. But that was, but you, I didn't just go on a date with you. This was weird because I just went on a date with her and I went for the cheek kiss and she went for the lip kiss. And to be kind of funny, but also be, I don't know where this came from. This came from my heels. I took my hand and wiped my mouth a bit. And she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm spreading the kiss. And as soon as I said that, I was like, that's the creepiest thing I've ever done with a woman.
I'm trying to think of...
It made sense before I did it, but I feel like that's so many things.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I've had any weird, like, creepy... You know,
besides married, because married is a whole different ball field. I feel like you could tell me a day that you had with Corey, and I'd be like, that is weird. But it's because you guys are so comfortable.
Well, no, I actually think most of my creepy experiences are with other women. We're like, because I don't...
Are they hot in slow motion?
No.
And is Latin music playing in the background?
Because I don't know how to, like... Sometimes certain women will just get it, where you'll... Like, I think other women are beautiful, or I'm stunned by how smart they are, or funny, and I'll just, like, say it, because I think it should be said. And some people can, like, will roll with that, and other people get really, like, when you give them a compliment, they're like, what? Where did that... Why would you say a compliment? I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah. You have to say, I'm going to give you a compliment. Yeah. Are you ready? And then I have to breathe very heavily to get my body ready, and then I can accept.
Like, I just learned to say thank you when people compliment me, which before it seemed rude, but now I think it's like, thanks, you know? Yeah. Just like...
Well, what do you usually say?
Well, you want to reciprocate.
Okay, you want to say something back.
Brian, I like your hair.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I would feel like I'd have to say...
Your oversized shirt is nice.
Your oversized shirt is... Well, that happens when I'm walking my dog all the time. Dylan, he's very cute. He's a boxer. And everyone would be like, your dog is adorable. And they'll have a dog also. And I feel like I have to be like, yours too.
Yeah.
But it's the ugliest dog. Yeah.
Oh, man. I was walking...
I'm sure it's sweet. I just...
I was walking
I feel like
with...
if my neighbors hear this, they'll be like...
He's definitely talking about me. No, I was walking with two friends recently that had, like, cute little dogs. And first of all, if I ever did get a dog, which I've said on this podcast before that I can't have a dog, just like right now. But if I did have a dog, it would be a big dog. It wouldn't be a little dog. But little dogs, man, do they get attention. Like my friend Samira and my friend Claire, I walked down the street with their, one of them has a Chihuahua and the other one has a Pomeranian, who she, like, shaved for the summer, so he's got, like, the lion's head. And everyone is stopping and talking to them. And I'm just like, God, that's so annoying. Like, I would hate to stop every 2 seconds. I mean...
We do stop a lot. And he has, as you know, he has anxiety issues. And so I got him... You can get these jackets that you go around a dog. They're called, like, a storm jacket or something. And something about that having pressure around their body.
It's for humans, too. You can get weighted blankets for you, yourself.
Oh, I need to walk around outside with those. There's so much
it like, they make you feel anxiety. Comfy, like the weighted blankets.
But I can't afford the vest dog thing. So I got a... there's this... they had a sale. It was, like, a Yankees jersey. And so I put it on him. And because... you know, he's less anxious, and he, you know, but when we do, he would get stopped all the time. I'm like, I have to go, please stop.
Yeah, that's funny. No, so what?
We've covered a lot of topics so far.
Stand up. I don't think we're done with
genocide.
Stand-up.
I know we'll go back, but dogs.
Genocide. Dogs.
In that importance. That's how they rank.
What was I going to say? So wait, you have material about marriage. Is it pro-marriage, anti-marriage?
I have a bit of both. I used to do, and what's funny is we're talking about material that doesn't work. I did a show in, and I always talk about it. I'm sure people are sick of it, but I did a show in Ohio because everyone, after you do stand-up for a while, you have your best show, and then eventually that could change. But you also have your worst show, and the worst show can, it actually is so much better than the best show because you're like, ooh, it can't get worse than
yeah.
that. There's no possible yeah. way. And if you go on stage with that mentality, you do a lot better. I'm going to do a terrible show tonight, I guarantee you, because I said that. I did a show in Ohio, and I had a joke about soulmates and marriage, and they just really didn't like it. They didn't yeah. think it was funny. And after I said that joke, one of the guys in the front asked if the other comic was going to come back on.
Oh, no.
And this was my second time doing a road gig. So I was yeah. like, no, it was a few in, but I was still very new.
Right.
Traumatized by this. And I was like, no, he's not gonna. And he's like, how much longer have you? I was like, I got about like 15 minutes. And he's like, how about 10? I was like, okay.
Oh, no.
And that joke kills in other rooms.
Yeah.
Also, I went, because when you do road shows, especially if they're in a hotel,
yeah.
You get free room or whatever.
Yeah.
I remember that was the nicest room I ever got. There was a hot tub in the room. And I got in the hot tub, I opened the liquor bar, and watched Inception.
Oh, Corey and I stayed in a hotel that had a hot tub in it once. But it's a weirder story. My parents
were also in the hot tub.
Yep. That's the end of it.
We don't talk about that weekend anymore.
No. Oh, gross.
And also I can't look at goats.
My parents used to drive down to Hilton Head, South Carolina to go on vacation. And Corey and I were in college, and we're like, well...
Their governor just won his re-election, South Carolina. I thought I'd put in something topical.
So that this loses its...
So people are like, what the fuck are they doing? Dogs? Oh, well, hey, there's politics
there's
here, too.
Politics,
you can put that under the genres.
Under the tag, politics.
Under the tags, you can put politics.
So we went down to South Carolina... And we would drive every year, and it was miserable because we would drive, my dad drives really slowly and makes a lot of stops, and so it would be, 28 hours in the car. It was just awful. And so Corey and I were like, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to fly down this time instead of being in the backseat of the car. Because we were like, free vacation, great.
Oh, and you mean flight. I thought you meant drive. We're going to book it.
No. We're going to fly.
That makes
so
sense.
So we flew, and then we didn't want to pay too much because, I don't even know where we were getting this money from. Student jobs at UConn or whatever, probably just my parents. They're like, you guys, go ahead, fly. Here, take our money.
Yeah. Parents are good at that.
Yeah. So we ended up, we were like, where are we going to stay? Well, we stayed at an Econo Lodge in Pooler, Georgia, but we're like, we're not just going to stay in the regular standard room at the Econo Lodge. We are going to upgrade to the best room at the Econo Lodge, the one with a hot tub in it. So, we get there and it's obviously disgusting. We ate at this place called El Patra. I think is what it's called. So if you're in Pooler, Georgia, El Patra, it was a Mexican buffet. So Corey went nuts. He was like, this is the best thing ever. And just ate and ate and ate. And then because at the time I was a fan of Miss Britney Spears, not a fan now. I'm not even going to pretend that I
you're
don't jam
more flack
out till
the genocide
till the world ends
for saying,
So I was like, this is so shitty. I mean, stupid. Anyway, I was like, I know Britney Spears likes Waffle House, and we are in the South, so I want to go.
You thought maybe.
No. I wanted to be like her and go to a Waffle House.
Oh, you didn't think you'd bump into her?
No, I didn't think. I didn't think. Pooler, Georgia is a little specific.
Yeah.
So we walked to the Waffle House, And of course, I act like exactly what you expect from like an uneducated, well, not super, not uneducated. I'm not going to give put myself down like that. A girl from New England who's sheltered.
Sheltered, yes.
So I go in and I was like, what are grits?
Oh.
So I had that experience.
And they're like, child, let me tell you, honey, grits is.
Honey, what, you know. It's corn. It's corn.
Did you know? No, I knew that. I remember just having it once and never wanting it again. And my grandmother being very... No, not my grandmother. Who made it for me? And they were like offended. If you say no to grits, if you're ever in the South and someone offers you grits, it's kind of like... I don't know what the comparison is, but it's like
apple pie up here.
Yeah. And if they don't like it, then you're just... Yeah. You are... You know,
but we
a northerner.
Everything's so cheap, that we got like a bunch of waffles. We got sweet tea, all this stuff, and we ended up walking back to the Econo Lodge because we walked there. We didn't rent a car or anything. My parents picked us up the next day, but I dry heaved the entire walk home
because you were so
the food just affected me badly. And then we didn't end up using our hot tub, but we did have a visitor in a hotel room in the form of several cockroaches.
Nice.
What? Yeah. So wait, do you have relatives in the South?
I have relatives in the Southwest. Mm-hmm. I have some in Florida. We know people there. When we were in South Carolina, and the woman who made the grits is from Kentucky.
That's where Elaine is from. Elaine, you're mentioned again.
Elaine is mentioned again. Yes. I remember thinking if I talk about any clubs or any comics, I'm going to get a thing like, hey, next time you do one, can you not talk about me? I don't want to be associated with what you're saying.
Oh, no. This is a good...
This is nervous. This is my first podcast.
Yeah. This is a happy place.
I thought though. It was a new type of. I was going to sign your cast. I thought it was a type of.
Oh boy.
That's my one joke.
Wah, 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 wah. I should put it in the sound effects because GarageBand lets you do that.
Really nice.
Not that I'm actually going to put in the effort to. I listened to one of the podcasts because one of my friends brought her dog, and she like the dog kept like she was worried it was going to like pee on the rug or like so there'd be a couple hey. So we had to like listen to the whole thing and like edit.
That must be fun to listen to.
So I had to edit that one, and like the cuts are really, really bad in that. And I'm not editing this, so don't fuck up.
Yeah. Well, are we allowed to swear? I remember thinking we're allowed to swear.
Yeah, we're allowed to swear. I'm gonna put in it's labeled as explicit.
Explicit.
Yeah. So we can talk about you know.
I was gonna send this to my grandmother. I guess I can't now.
You can. She just has to be okay with fuck and shower sex.
The worst. Oh, I embarrassed her so bad. I did a show back when I went. I went back home after I did some stuff in New York City, and a lot of people came. I was so thankful for that. That was fun. And my grandmother. It was. I mean, a lot of people. It was like kids I went to high school with and my relatives. It was really just not.
Yeah.
But I remember just thinking it'd be so funny if I mentioned my grandmother and I said she's a lovely woman and she also does the best Osama bin Laden impersonation. And. She, like, after just thought she was like, and everyone was like, do your Osama, do your Osama. And she was just she didn't think that was that funny, but other people did.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I would be terrified to do a room full of my relatives and classmates from, like, high school and shit.
It was awkward because you talk about adult things and you don't know which relatives are okay with that and
I'm very aware of which relatives are okay with it and which are not. That's why... None of them. I don't think I've invited. I love all of my relatives, I should say right now. But my parents have come to my shows. Mm-hmm. My siblings and their my brothers and their wives have come to my shows. But my in-laws have not. And it's not because I just haven't. It would be. I feel
like you said your brothers and your wives, not your brothers and your sister-in-laws. It makes it seem like your brothers live on a farm and have numerous wives.
Numerous wives.
Which, if they do, that's
no. When I'm just with my sisters-in-law, I tell people that they're my sisters. I don't put the in-law afterwards because I am really close to them and I'm lucky.
I do the same thing with my step siblings. I say, yeah, this is my brother, this is my sister.
Yeah, because I got really lucky. My brother,
oh, yeah.
My brother's married amazing women. Like, just, you know, one of them is now a mother to my niece. And yeah. you have nieces and nieces.
I do. I have my sister Jess had twins, Cora and Milo, and then my brother and my sister Jess and her husband. And then I was she didn't just, you know, make them out of a plastic bag.
You know the old plastic
bag babies.
You know
the old plastic bag babies.
Oh God.
And then Trevor, my stepbrother, and his wife Megan had Esme, and they're all very outrageously adorable.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But yeah, I lucked out too with step families. I have a lot of friends that are like, fuck my step parents. I like my step parents a lot and their family. I also like the people my siblings are dating / married, except for my sister. My sister Allie, I don't know if she's still dating. She's going to hate me. I don't know if she's still dating or dated a guy who I didn't mind until I found out that he sells weed.
Yeah.
And I said, Al, you're dating a drug dealer. And she goes, no. Here's what he does. He buys a lot of weed and then sells it to his friends. I was like, Allie, that's a drug dealer.
That's a drug dealer.
And I don't have any problem with someone who, oh, I guess I do. If I, but.
Do you smoke weed?
I used to smoke a bit. I don't anymore, just because I get really depressed. I just overthink everything. The last time I got high, which was a while ago, I remember thinking about the end of the universe and the fact that
oh my God,
yeah, and the fact that there won't be anything after that. Like, it all started and it all will eventually end. And I spent the whole night trying to go to sleep thinking about that.
Oh God.
So I don't approach ganja anymore.
My dad said that he never smoked weed. It made him paranoid. He has never smoked weed.
It made me paranoid.
I've never smoked weed. Neither has Corey. That's our weird thing.
Not your weird thing. It's, I mean, I get it. I don't know.
I mean, I've done heroin, crack.
Obviously. I think that goes without saying.
I was trying to think of another drug, and I'm like, what's the other one on Breaking Bad?
What's the one I saw on that show?
Yeah.
No, let's do that. Let's list how many drugs we know. There's, well, not medical, because that can be, all medical drugs can be overused.
I got my teeth pulled, my wisdom teeth pulled. And they gave me Percocet.
Percocet. Oh, yeah. That'll put you in a nice place.
So the thing is that I got my teeth pulled in New York, and I think they have strict drug laws here.
Yes.
So they gave me 12 pills. And I'm not going to pretend that I didn't want to see what it would be like to take one or two when I, you know, didn't need them. But I didn't get to have that chance because my teeth fucking hurt.
Oh, yeah. And you had to use them all.
I had to use them all. And I even, like, as soon as I told this one person, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting my wisdom teeth out. And his immediate reaction was, can I buy your pills from you?
Oh, yeah. Those people are fun.
And I was just like,
but, you know, brothers, what are you going to do?
No, it was not my brothers. They are upstanding.
Or their wives.
They are upstanding members. They are teachers.
I remember last time I was, they're scholared men. Last time I was home, I had a fractured elbow. And my mom was giving me crap because I had Vicodin. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what are you doing with those pills? I was like, I'm in a sling.
I'm in pain.
Please stop yelling at me.
Yeah,
she was worried I was going to, like, go to street drugs.
The like, assistant, the dental hygienist was like, oh, you know, I know for me, and she's a very petite woman, so I don't, you know.
She takes half a pill.
She was like, yeah, half a pill is enough. And so I got home and I took one. And then my anesthesia started to wear off. And I was just, like, the pain hit and I was immediately crying. And I was like, I need another one, Mom! So, oh, yeah. She gave one to me.
Is that what you sound like when you talk to your mother?
That's the only voice I talk to my mom. And, Mom! I had a really good day today! I recorded that podcast and everything went really well. And then I went and I had yoga and I drank some coffee. And then she goes, oh, great, dear. That sounds wonderful.
No, wait, let's do your voices. So that was your mom voice. Do your Corey voice.
Hey, Corey. How you doing?
Do your talk to your Hungarian priest voice.
Hello. I have sinned several times today.
No, just these aren't you impersonating these people.
No, this is how I talk to them. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Yeah, because I can't actually. I've been trying to. My friend is from Slovakia. Her name is Ivanka Posikova.
That's a Bond girl name. Yes. Posikova? No way.
Posikova.
Posikova. Not Posikova.
I'm going to totally tag her in this, and she's going to be like, what is a podcast? But that's
it's a type
by
of
the
cast.
Way, that's the version that I do of her voice. What is this? That's not what she sounds like at all.
That's what foreign people... I love when people do like foreign impressions. They just ask questions, because apparently that's what...
Well, that is a lot of like Brits... You know, they...
No, do your English accent. Let's hear this.
I can't...
Give the people
which
what
one?
They want.
Hello! Hello, nope. Brian!
Nope, that's... Never mind. I read
track. That's the one... The Cockney one is the one I can just, like, do. But I was listening
was
to...
Was that Cockney? Is that what you're going to call
it? I believe that's Cockney, right? No, that's 20th. What is that?
That's a Geico commercial. That's
what that
is.
That's not Geico. Geico is, like...
what the guy sounds like. It just, I feel like if they did an English.
If they did their eighth type of commercial, it's the caveman, the lizard, the guitar guys now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the guitar guys.
Will Hines is in that commercial.
Yes. I liked. I still have a friend who taught me the best way to do the English accent is this phrase. Because it has lots of vowels in it. I'd like a proper cup of coffee with a proper cup of tea.
I'd like a proper cup of coffee with a proper cup of tea.
And if you ever feel like you're losing that, you just say that in your head.
Proper cup of coffee. That's terrible.
Perfect. That's exactly, that's right. That's exactly what it is.
Is Lucy Davis the one that was on the original Office?
Lucy Davis, the one who's on the original Office. Cast member?
Yeah, the British Office. Let me look it up.
Oh. Ooh, I don't know. I should know that.
I think that's her name.
She's in she's in a bunch of other stuff. I've just dove into this is Game of Thrones. I've never watched the show.
You didn't watch Game of Thrones?
Well, the thing is, I don't like the way that they phrase this, but it's a thing where you suicide a show, and that's just when you OD on it,
and you
do the whole thing. And I don't have enough time in my life. But my roommate started watching it, and I just had to get in with it.
Well, so Game of Thrones, is not one of the shows that I've apparently suicided, but Game of Thrones, because we have HBO, and HBO usually has pretty good programming on it.
Great programming.
So we got...
Newsroom.
You're watching it?
No, watch Newsroom.
I have.
It's amazing.
What?
You don't like that.
I hate
Oh, I see.
Newsroom.
I have a poster of Aaron Sorkin on my
love
wall.
I love West Wing. The Sports Night.
If you're ever interested, or Mr. Sorkin, excuse me, if you're ever interested in working with anyone, I can make a mean coffee.
I'm one of the only people that's watched all of Studio 60.
Oh, I love Studio 60. And you don't like Newsroom. That's so funny.
Well, I didn't necessarily like Studio 60, but I watched all of it, and I watched all of Newsroom, and I'm going to continue watching it.
Oh yeah. It's a,
but I do agree with the critique that, all of his women are like whiny, pathetic. Like he would not like they're all obsessed with men. Look at it. Like there's
that's so interesting to me because I think the opposite. I think that they're so career oriented and he has very
not in the West Wing. Like West Wing, great.
Character
like
roles.
CJ, amazing. Like yeah. Even like she had her love interest with what's his face with the beard.
That's everyone has.
The love interest.
Love.
But no, like, the Emily Mortimer character is it's all flustered and she can't do anything. And they have their moments that they're the assistant, the younger producer girl.
Yeah.
I just want to, like, punch her in the face. And all the guys are like, oh, I'm saving the day. I agree that that's a problem with that show.
I'm so
eloquent. Guys.
Yeah, that was a well-constructed argument.
Really eloquent.
I like the argument. I loved the opening scene. After the opening scene, I was hooked when he says America isn't the greatest country in the world anymore.
I agree. I liked that.
It's not. And I think that...
Oh, and the way he marginalizes the woman with the gun. Not that woman. Like the woman, Catherine Hahn's character.
Yes.
Like, it was interesting, but I just felt like, do we need to, like, make her into a cartoon?
I don't think she was a cartoon.
I think many of the best characters on television are cartoons. Yeah. But, there are...
And I like the overall theme that we are at our best when we are informed.
I think
you don't have to agree with me.
Aaron Sorkin wants the world to be a better place. He's showing us, look at how it can be done. Like on the West Wing, look, we have this beautiful, like, lovely liberal president who has conviction, and he can even be religious, but he doesn't let that, you know, affect what he does.
But it just makes sense. I feel like why don't we have that?
Because the world is shitty.
Well, the world's shitty if you say it's shitty. The world can be amazing if you say it's
right
amazing.
But when you can't, like, get anything, when Congress can't get anything done. True. Because it's all like a politics game.
I can't believe we didn't pass gun control.
It's ridiculous.
That was amazing to me. That we have so many people who want not even gun control. It's just regulation. It's this and that. I read something that's very interesting. It's the stupidest sentence, but it makes so much sense. Of why aren't there more grenade deaths in America? Is it because we regulate grenades? It makes sense. In any other nation, the Daily Show did a great coverage of it when they went to Australia and saw how that worked. And
yeah.
They had the same growing pains with it. Many people were against it and they went crazy. And now they're all like, well, no one's getting shot at, so we like this.
Yeah, I have a really hard time with the whole gun control thing because it's I'm sure people tuned into a comedy podcast to listen to us talk about.
Well, guns are funny.
I did a scene yesterday in Anthony Tamanik's 501 grad show. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it was going to be like a school shooting, and we turned it into a school poisoning.
That's funny.
And he's like, I'm so glad that turned into a school poisoning.
Yeah, school shootings are hilarious.
My mom's a school superintendent, and I got the call.
My parents are teachers.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to go before I dropped out. I was going to be a history teacher.
Really?
Yeah.
You would have inspired a lot of minds.
Or just annoyed them.
My brother is, I have two older brothers. The oldest is a music professor. He is a conductor and does like the horn studio at Washington State. And my other brother is an English teacher. This one has lots of wives. And the English teacher is the one that has a child, Vivian. But he's an English teacher, and, you know, he said to me...
I love how you said has a child like it's a disease. He's the one
that has... He's the one that has a child. Well, that's how
we're going to have a march for it. There's a ribbon. Support people with children. It's a terrible infliction.
Oh, no. They're purple ribbons because it's blue and pink.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a color. I don't know what would
I came up with purple.
Purple's good.
Thank you.
Should we go back to comedy as a way...
So my English accent...
Which is amazing.
No, I can do an English accent, but I have to listen to a British person for a while. And Lucy Davis.
You should watch Doctor Who.
Oh God. Oh no. Lucy Davis was on Studio 60. She was the British, and she was on the British Office.
Yep.
So she was on Janet Varney's podcast, The JV Club, which I highly recommend listening to. So she was on that, and I listened to that podcast, and I came back to the apartment and I just started speaking in a British accent for fun. And Corey's like, that's actually really good. And I'm like, yeah, I just listened to somebody speak for an hour so I can do it. But I need, like, I have to get better at just being able to click it in.
Yeah, that's, I just watched the Zach Galifianakis hosting SNL show last night, and I watched with my roommate and a friend, and I just started reciting all the lines, and like, and they both, I performed with both of them, and they're like, Brian, you are so bad at reading scripts and memorizing lines, how do you remember that? It's weird, when you hear it,
when
it
you hear
just,
it
clicks in.
Yeah, I that's how I memorize lines. I record them on the voice memo thing, and I just listen to it over and over again.
Who was your, I'm going to hijack your
yeah,
podcast.
Go ahead. Go right ahead.
Who, or you can name a few, comedians that influenced you the most.
That's interesting. Because for me, it wasn't necessarily comedians. It was comedy. It was watching Kids in the Hall with my brother.
Yeah.
It was getting able to stay up late for Seinfeld.
Yep.
You know,
my parents had a sign at the end of the season finale. They had a Seinfeld party where everyone dressed up like their favorite Seinfeld character, and there was like 100 people at my house.
Yeah, I really, this isn't my comedy is nothing like his comedy, but like I like watched Chris Rock with my family.
You don't do a lot of Chris Rock?
I don't do a lot of, like, women. the best thing, were you there when Chelsea Clark made us do the judge and jury, like, Chris Rock? Mm. And her example was, women are like dolphins. They slippery. Just this whole...
He's very scientific. It's so funny to see an interview with him. He learned very early, and it's true. If you don't set up a premise, and if the audience doesn't get your premise, they aren't gonna get where you're going with else with it. And especially when he's doing such a big room, or the big rooms, and it may not rooms. They're not rooms. They're theaters and stadiums, like he does. He needs to say four times in a row, women are like this. Women are like this. Because they need to be...
Here, this is the part you need to listen to.
Yeah,
get this in your head so that when I tell the joke, you will laugh. Yeah, and the way he has a command of the stage and he has presence. But I actually think... I think it was, if a lot of it is just... Like, I know this sounds stupid, but I think that... being able to find, like, knowing that, like, watching Legally Blonde and seeing Reese Witherspoon just be funny.
Yeah.
Like, act funny.
There's...
It's not... For me, it wasn't, like... I didn't go home and transcribe comedy albums. Like, that wasn't me. Adam Sandler, though. If I had to pick one, it'd be Adam Sandler.
Yeah, Adam Sandler. The movies definitely hit me when they were young. I just...
Stop looking at me, Swan.
Yeah, I liked being funny. I remember the first time, and this is actually what made me want to do it for when I wanted to do stand-up. I was in Mr. Clare's English class, and I don't know what the question was because I don't pay attention, but I know that I gave the reasoning of this. I was talking about, we were just something about women, and I think it was relationships, and I said, women are like meat. Everyone were like, what?
Women!
I said, women are like meat. If you eat the meat raw, as mean just kind of dive in, mm-hmm. you're going to get sick. But if you have, you know, take time and put it on the grill and put some seasoning on, you have a meal. And the whole class thought it was so funny. It was that moment that I wanted to do what my heroes were doing, what I wanted to be just like these people. I wanted to be like Adam Sandler. I wanted to be like Robin Williams, Jim Carrey. It's funny that you said Legally Blonde. That's a funny movie, and I love, as you know, like in the industry that we are trying to dive into, there's so many just negative people that are like Legally Blonde, really? Like,
yeah,
that's the movie. And I was like, it's funny.
It's
what
a
do
funny
you,
movie.
If it's funny, then it's
as a like a 10th grader or freshman. No, I think I was in 10th grade, and I watched that movie. And I came out at the end, and I was like, I can do anything!
That movie is so... Yeah, and that's why I loved Adam Sandler movies, is they made me laugh the whole time. And at the end, I was like, oh, I can do something good. I always get heat when I talk to comics about what comics wanted me or inspired me want to do it, mine was Dane Cook, which is...
Which people are like, ugh.
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 And I get so frustrated when they say that because now I watch his stuff and it doesn't make me laugh as much. Sorry, Dane.
We know he's a listener.
We know he's a long-time listener. Yeah. But when I was 16, I thought that was so funny because that's where I was at. I thought that women are like this, men are like this. You know, saying kind of funky phrases over and over again, I thought was very funny. He was energetic. The dude sold out Madison Square Garden twice and still performs at Madison Square Garden. Like, to say that he sucks is... I always get mad when people, like, say NBA, like... They're talking about athletes. Dude, that guy sucks. Okay, well, he gets paid lots of money to put a ball through a hoop. Yeah. I feel like some...
I think our standards are a little high.
Are a little different.
Yeah. No, I figured out... So I really, like, I, of course, really like Sarah Silverman and Amy Schumer as... What, are you looking at the...
Looking at the time.
Silverman's great. Sarah Silverman's great. Joan Rivers on Fashion Police. I watch it every week. I watch it with Corey. We watch Fashion Police together because Joan Rivers is so fucking funny.
She is.
And she hits it every time. Although I will say, for the writer's strike on Fashion Police, you know, I'm sorry.
Why are they on writer's strike?
They're not getting paid the right amount or something.
I thought we settled that with the whole writer's strike thing.
It's just this show. It's like they aren't treating their writers well. So...
I don't know why they don't. I don't know why there's any debate. If you don't have writers, although reality TV show is tipped over to being, there's more unscripted shows than there are scripted. It doesn't make sense to me. I remember thinking the other day, do you daydream also about what it would be like to be on like a talk show?
Of course.
Like okay, cool.
Why did I start my own podcast? Like fucking egomaniac over here.
Well, we all are. But I remember thinking I would be so hard to do a talk show because there was reality shows on every night. For some dancing with this mom who's in Jersey.
Dancing with Honey Boo Boo's mom.
And, and I would have to sit next to that person and not look at them and say, you're ruining everything.
Well, that's why I like Chelsea Handler because when she truly doesn't like a guest, she'll ask them what they're thinking. Like, why would you do that? But also,
I feel like we're in reality right now. We're doing like it never made sense to me that people. I'd say to my friends, "You want to go hang out and you know get lunch or something?" They're like, no, I'm gonna watch so and so go have lunch.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Have you seen You've Got Mail?
Yes.
So this is like real. It's totally dated because of you know.
That's why it took me a second. Yeah. I was like, wait.
But Greg Kinnear's
AOL was the biggest thing.
Greg Kinnear's character says something like, "The point of the VCR is so we can tape what's on television, but we leave the house so we can miss what's on television." And like, it's that kind of I find like that social media keeps me from like I think it is. I think it is. Kind of depressing and like you see everybody else's life and you're like, oh, I'm not doing enough. Or like,
well, they're not doing anything either. That's
but that's the thing. You have to realize that everybody else is just posting the pictures from that one night they or those couple hours that they did stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we don't have enough time to talk about what's wrong with reality television.
So Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is but that makes sense to me that there would be when I was young, you know, I'm 5 now, so when I was 4, actually the doctors said that there's a good chance I wouldn't be able to walk because I have a hip dysplasia like German shepherds do, I think. And
he's a puppy.
I'm a
ladies.
Puppy. if ladies weren't after me now or before, they're gonna.
Yeah, but then you just said that. You just canceled that out.
And I'm back to where I started. But I had hip dysplasia, and they said he might not walk. He definitely won't run. And I proved him wrong. But I had to be in a bed for like 4 to 6 months.
So we just found out how you got into comedy.
Yeah. But no, I'm in a bed for 4 to 6 months, and I could have read, found a love for reading. But instead, they had a TV and started just watching movies. And I loved, and I think that's where I fell in love with it because I loved reality is so boring. And I loved that there was, I was able to see these big people like Robin Williams and Jim Carrey and, or all the, you know, the Disney movies, or, I mean, that's obviously different media, but you look at something like Game of Thrones and that's so exciting and so big and there's so many things going on and that's such a, that's, to me, is worthwhile watching.
Yeah.
Everything
no, real,
else is...
No, yeah, real shows that people put effort in and that are creative and really thought out.
Like
well.
Newsroom.
I'm just going to let the silence happen.
Okay. We got another 20 minutes? We just not talk.
No, you were going to keep this up for longer.
I was going to, but I commit to my bits, I guess. Unlike,
yeah,
you.
That is the note I got yesterday from Anthony. I like your moves. Just, you know, commit to a character choice, which is very valid.
That's tough.
I needed to. Although one character, like, my point was that she was very dead inside. And he's like, I would have liked it if it was more sinister.
She loves very dark stuff.
Yeah. So I did it like the character was, like, dead, just, like, dead inside. Like, I killed all of you. I poisoned you. Like, all this stuff.
That's great.
But he was like, I would have liked it to be more sinister. And I was thinking, yeah, that probably would have played a lot better, like...
What are you, like a witch or something? I got
you know, Anthony's characters are fucking incredible.
I think, but the other thing too is it's tough to do it when you're thinking about it. Like, you're trying to think of what's something that's good. And I know the motto is don't think. And obviously that's the goal. But I think it's comedy in all medias is a lot like sex, I think. At first you are thinking about it and you're nervous and you don't know how to do it and you're bad at it and you know
and you're shaking and sweating
and you're in a weird room and
they're surrounded by strangers that's you've got paper in your hand you don't want to forget
and there's a microphone
and of course you're recording it because it's your first time you want that for posterity's sake
but that and then you send it to your family members.
Of course. You get lots of comments.
Yep. And
people are so supportive.
And people
but
say
like,
it was off rhythm and off.
Oh, apparently my time went better. I said people are so supportive.
Yeah, no, mine was... no, but they... But then you just get better at it. And then it just becomes this natural thing that you don't have to think about as much. And because you're not thinking about it, you're getting stronger. And it's, I think it's a lot like sex.
Yeah. When am I going to get good at that, huh?
I don't know. I haven't perfected that one either.
Bullshit.
I haven't. No,
You're not even looking. You can't tell, but he's not looking me in the eye right now.
I can't look her in the eye. I remember, oh God, we're going to go into this. I was,
you brought it up.
I know, but I could have let it die. I used to date a girl, and because that happens. And I remember, she didn't like having physical intimacy with me. And I remember her being very explicit. I'm not going to go into all the things. I recently...
do you want to talk about it?
I don't. I recently... I had a random... I remember I was at a restaurant, and I was thinking... a girl I dated, and I said, what is the name of this place? Because I wanted to find it.
Yeah.
I wasn't there quite yet. And she's like, that wasn't me. And I was like, crap, that's awkward.
Oh, no.
So I texted the person who I thought it was, and this girl, lovely gal, she texted me back, it's this and this. I was like, oh, great, thank you so much. Obviously, I had taken her there. And I realized, oh, crap, I just asked her this random question. I have to say, you know, how are you? I have to be polite.
Yeah.
And she goes, honestly, Brian, you're a douche. I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I did. And I was like, I'm so sorry you feel that way. She goes, to be quite frank, when your name goes across my phone, I cringe.
Oh my God.
And I thought that was so funny. I think it's so funny when people strongly dislike me because that's a lot of effort. They could feel nothing towards me, but when they hate me, obviously. And so just to dig at it more, I was like, well, can't you just, you know, change my name to like Jeff in your phone and then maybe you won't. And she was like, fuck you, goodbye.
No, I always, I don't think, you know, I'm a specific flavor and you have to like that, you know, you have to grow up, get a, you know.
A little bit.
What's the thing? You have to get your palate to like me. It's fine. Like, whatever. Some people don't like me. I'm fine with that.
That's like cinnamon. I feel like I would like a girl who her flavor is cinnamon, but not everybody likes cinnamon.
I don't like cilantro or saffron.
Yeah.
There's one that's, more. That's or fair. Anise. Those are my three flavors. Anise is like liquor.
Should we take a few calls?
Yes. Okay.
Bring, bring.
Hi, caller. You are on the air with talking or what are we? We're giggling like gals.
I was gonna play along, but fuck you, Gavin. Like gals.
We're giggling. We're growling like gals. What are we doing? We're galloping like gals. We're horses. Caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Brian. This is Jessica. Mm-hmm. I saw that your name was on this podcast, and I just went, ugh. So I had to call in and be like, hey, you disgust me.
I don't... Is there a specific reason to this? I mean, people are going to hear this. I feel like you have to back that up more with why I disgust you.
It's everything.
Okay.
It's from the way that you touch. Every time you touch me, shivers send down my spine because I know that you're evil.
Yep.
I don't know.
Well, this is good. Thank you. Thank you, Jessica, for calling. I think we lost her. She didn't want to finish that. But to my what turn. She was saying, I do. I am an evil person. And
that's why I decided to have you on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, if someone's nice on the, but that's just boring.
What's, I could imagine not wanting, like, I could imagine not, me. Not wanting to be around somebody that I had dated. You know, I haven't really had that experience because I've been with Corey forever. Like, you don't exactly.
Just wait.
Ouch.
No, yeah, that's true. It's when you're. Yeah, because you were so serious and caring and you know wanting to be with that person.
Well, I think one of the things that's great about like me being in this relationship is that it takes all that sexual tension off with me and any guy.
Oh, gotcha. I was wondering where you're going with that.
No, so like I...
No, that's tough. That's a real
thing. It's off the table. Like any guy that I meet, it's off the table.
Yeah, that can be very freeing.
Every guy is brother-like to me.
Yeah.
Because I realized in high school, I was really, like, I'm still a flirty person, but I realized in high school, like, that, like, flirting was hurtful to your partner. I realized how awful I would feel if Corey were doing this, like, giving hugs to random guys and doing this and doing that and, like, you know, playing along with the, like, whatever. I realized that I would be hurt by that if it was him doing it to a girl, and so I stopped flirting like that. Like I will joke about shit, but I won't. It will never be at a point like
this is your opening bit for your set, right?
This is what
you do.
And then I went into
flirting is hurtful.
Flirting is no. This is my self-help book.
This is your self-help book.
Don't flirt with other guys. But there's like funny flirting. I mean, it's not real flirting, but like funny behavior. Like and like when you told me that you didn't like how my boob touched your arm.
That is, it's so weird to me that you're. It's.
I don't.
It
I don't,
happened more than once.
But like they are.
You would just be standing there on the back line, ready to do.
If I get close to anybody within like a foot, my boobs are just like.
You need to talk to them about this because no, like, your boobs are much more forward.
But
than
like I don't notice. I don't notice if my boobs are touching anything, because they're not like soup. Your boobs are just like not sensitive. This
I don't
is
know
mom.
What they feel
I'm.
Like.
I hope you're really proud of this conversation. But like, so I don't really notice. Plus, there's like a bra there. It's not even like you're probably just touching my bra. You're not touching my.
Boob, oh yeah,
you know?
Yeah. To put the record straight, she didn't like
I wasn't
just
naked.
Pop out a boob and. On my elbow.
We were just had our like we were in a group with like our arms around each other and my boob touched your arm. You're like, don't do that.
No,
don't.
No one's arms were around each other. Just whatever.
What? We were standing next to each other. My boob touched you. Your
yeah.
hair is very spiky right now.
Thank you. What else do you have on the list?
Oh no! But remember, I made you. I made you slap my ass repeatedly in that improv show just to get back at you for telling that to me.
That was so, and your husband's in the audience.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
And I just couldn't even look at him.
He thought it was funny.
I'm sure he thought it was funny. I was traumatized because I was like, I'm so sorry, man. Like,
that was great. I love those like inside jokes on stage where people don't understand. They're would you like some matches?
I would. I'm gonna take these with
you. Should. They don't light very well, but you can have a memory of our wedding.
Of the wedding that I didn't. Yeah, that wasn't invited to.
Well, I didn't know you.
Still.
If I had, you know, I wouldn't have him. But
I wouldn't have invited me either. No, it's I'm an evil person. Remember?
Because I didn't join UCB until after I got married. Like at the wedding, I had like 5 of my best girlfriends, and that's it for friends.
You don't want to hang out with comedians. I feel like they're well.
Me
that's not, that's
personally,
not,
or
no,
people in general.
People in general. I think that's not 100%. I guess it's not 100%.
The whole point of having this podcast is so I get to hang out with comedians.
Yeah, but after a while it gets old because people are. Nah, no, I retract that.
Yeah,
retract.
It's the best.
It's not all comedians. There's some comedians that just everyone's just trying to be the funniest person in the room, and that you can't have a real conversation with them. That gets annoying. It's weird to me that there's people in comedy. I think you get either great people in comedy, like that's the one of the greatest people I've ever met, and then you get the worst, meanest, angriest people.
Yeah. Well, you know, the angry people are just sensitive.
Well, it doesn't make sense to me. Do you realize what business you're trying to go into? That's just being light, fun, and make people laugh. It'd be like a medical, like someone who does surgery who's like, people's bodies are gross.
There's probably a lot of people that do surgery that think people's bodies are gross because their parents were like, you're going to be a surgeon, god damn it.
Yeah.
So let's get back on track. What did I want? Let's see. First stand-up experience, college, love. Do you want to get married? Do you want to fall in love? Do you want kids? Do you want?
I would very much so like to be married and have kids.
You're 23?
I'm 23.
So you're 5.
I've
you have time.
I'd like at least 4 kids. Ladies, if you're listening. At least
4,
four
really?
Kids. Yeah.
It's a lot.
A lot, but I like
because with your like step siblings, how many siblings do you have?
6. I'm 1 of 6.
Nice. That's
which
great.
Is it's just very fun. And I would like to get married. I do understand that it is a bit of a
Corey's taken,
you're taken. I guess I gotta start looking elsewhere.
I'm telling you and Elaine are gonna end up married.
Elaine and I are very...
You're so compatible, but I think you guys don't find each other attractive.
Yeah, I know she definitely doesn't find me attractive. She was the caller.
That was Jessica.
Never mind.
That was Jessica.
We didn't take Elaine's call because it was going to be meaner.
We should actually call Elaine and be like, do you find Brian attractive?
She's very attractive.
She's beautiful.
She's gorgeous. But I don't think... You know when you know someone
you don't
someone
think
too
of them
well.
Like sexually.
Yeah, when you
not
get to know
that you don't find her attractive,
so well.
It's that you're not sexually attracted.
Mm.
Oh, so you are
men
sexually
men
attracted.
Men are a bit different.
But you're just not there yet. You'll find that.
Yeah, I'm 23. I got plenty of time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I've definitely been in love.
That's nice.
It's a fun feeling.
Me too.
It's a good.
I like love. I love love.
You love love.
But I also, like, I don't like people faking it. I feel like that happens a lot in New York because of the housing situation. Really. I do. I feel like people...
I'm crazy about this guy. Well, at least his apartment.
Or no, it's like, I get, you know, our lease, my lease is up and we're going to move in together. You know, it's just like, No, I love that person. I want to move in together. It's just, it puts a strain on the relationship.
I did that once. I lived with a guy and had to pretend to love him.
I hear you.
It was a rough experience.
Because, I understand.
You know, I'm not gay, but I was, well, no, I take that. I guess I was for 6 months.
Yeah, you should do the Bo Burnham thing and not say whether you're gay or not.
I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, he doesn't like.
He doesn't talk about
it.
I get hit on often by men.
I'm sure you do. You're a very attractive man.
That's not.
You know, for men.
Yeah. As men go, you're quite attractive.
Like, speaking as a gay man.
Speaking as a gay man. No, that happens. And also, I get a lot of people that will go to my roommate or a friend and be like, he's gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I never actually bothered me. It was.
That's because you get laid a lot. Hey, Brian's mom.
That's not true either.
Brian's grandma.
Yeah, I'm Brian's grandma. I'm going to send this to all of them and then not be invited back for Christmas.
Well, you can come to my house. We like to have fun.
Cool.
Okay, so let's see. What else? Shannon obsession. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Okay. What are your goals? What are your like big goals?
My big goals are to score a goal on the FIFA.
Boy.
That would be nice.
As long as you're talking about the video game.
I'm just a really bad gamer, guys. I just want to score one goal.
I want to score one goal.
Even in the practice. Do they have, like, a practice? I don't know. I don't have FIFA. Even, like, in the practice, you know, like, just the drills. Just the
one. I can't get it. I can't do it. What are my goals? Dream job would be Saturday Night Live. Would be an amazing.
Interesting.
I've loved that.
Writing, acting, both?
Both. Or doing my own sketch show. My dad put me onto Monty Python very early, and it's different than SNL. And there's parts mm-hmm. of me that likes Monty Python more because they are able to free up and do more things. Like a show like Bit of Fry Laurie, that is a very funny thing to me. I like other performers besides English ones. But I like the media that they can use because you can do a lot of other things. I'd like to do more road work for stand up.
Yeah,
that would be nice. It's a lot of fun to do. Let's see. I'd like to do one of those medical commercials where if you've been hurt, like there'll be a drug that comes yeah. out. I want to pretend to be one of the victims who's been
Absolutely.
Through this, or informative, or the guy who pretends to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. I've always wanted to work at a car wash.
I want to be in the Binder and Binder commercials.
They make the, that's the Binder guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I want to be on the mesothelioma commercial.
Nice. No, that's yeah. I don't. I
so it's like SNL is your goal right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to get into a more long writing and directing. Me and a few people are working on a series right now that we're still on script. You know, we're still at the script point, but it's about an off-Broadway theater that was very fun. And that's very fun to get into that process of writing and. You know, planning, not just being a character, but trying to do all the inner workings. It's
yeah.
very overwhelming, but
That's
it's
awesome.
It's fun.
Do you have anything you want to plug right now? Any appearances coming up or anything like that?
Yeah, nothing really that is out of the normal. Trying to think of any appearances that are... No, how pathetic is that? Nothing that's going to be... Like just I guess look That's for me in the city.
Go to his Facebook page, Twitter. What's your Twitter? Do you have a Twitter?
I do have a Twitter. It's
are we a friend then?
Brian Enk.
At Brian Enk.
At Brian Enk.
ENYCK.
So close. No. ENCK. It's okay. I did check Lorinsky.
ENCK. ENCK.
And then it's my website is good too.
BrianEnk.com.
Yep.
Wow. I have LizAubin.com and wait, did I buy? I gotta buy Liz Lorinsky before this comes out because you know somebody's gonna snap
Someone's
it up.
Gonna snatch up that
snap
name.
It up. Okay, I have questions at the end. Brian, what'd you have for breakfast?
Whatever, I'm eating it right now.
He's eating a blueberry muffin.
It's a blueberry granola some
strudel.
Muffin blend. The
from Coffee Cake Corner.
I was thinking you should do more plugs or do it in Coffee Cake Corner so you can get funding.
And that was on that's on Lexington 85th and Lexington.
There's a cute redhead who works there. She's very attractive.
I'm sure there is. That used to be a Morton Brown or Molton Brown or something like that. That was spun off from. What's the one with that's a chocolate place down on Union Square?
It's called the Chocolate Place.
Yeah. But they used to have like all the good, like real hot chocolate and stuff, but then it turned into this place. Massage or facial?
Would I want a massage?
Roses or tulips?
Tulips.
And what's your favorite iPhone game?
FIFA.
Really?
FIFA.
Is that a joke?
No, FIFA. My favorite, anything probably Doctor Who.
There's Doctor Who iPhone games?
There are, and they're great because the show is also amazing.
Well, we'll save that for Brian Enk part two.
Yeah, Brian talking about Doctor Who the whole time.
I'm a Plants vs. Zombies girl myself.
Oh, okay.
So that's our show.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. Anything else you want to say? Should we try to get you to cry in the last, 30 seconds?
No, I cried this morning when I woke up.
I'll just kick you in the balls.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, just fucking say bye.